This spring, if you'd rather spend time enjoying your lawn instead of trying to keep it alive, there's good news. TruGreen is the easiest and most affordable way to get a beautiful lawn. All you have to do is water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and even some things you might not even think of. They'll do all of it, while you can do literally anything else. With True Green, you could have your lawn looking as good as a putting green. That's not hyperbole. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. True Green offers a satisfaction guarantee, and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people guaranteed.
This episode is brought in part to you by Audible, your go-to destination for thrilling audio entertainment. Whether you're looking for a hair-raising experience to enjoy while you're on the move or eager to dive into sinister and shocking tales, Audible has an exclusive collection of thrillers from best-selling authors that will keep you on the edge of your seat. Like James Patterson's first audio-only thriller, The Coldest Case. Experience stories like never before, where every chilling detail is brought to life by captivating sound design. Plus, as an Audible member, choose one title a month to make yours forever. And now, new members can try Audible free for 30 days. Just visit audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500. That's audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500.
This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers. Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and your tushies do too. No matter what kind of butt you've got, you'll feel comfy while your baby's mushy little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around. Get your baby butt in the best-fitting diaper. Huggies Little Movers. We got you, baby.
Tonight, President Biden planning a primetime Oval Office address to the nation. He's now on his way home from Israel after a rare wartime visit. The breaking news about the deal he secured to get food, water, and medicine to civilians in Gaza. Plus, the new intelligence on that deadly hospital blast. The president showing solidarity with Israel and revealing he's seen U.S. intelligence that Israel was not responsible for the hospital explosion in Gaza.
Based on what I've seen, it appears as though it was done by the other team.
Tonight, the new video Israelis say show the rocket came from within Gaza by the Islamic Jihad. On Air Force One, the president later telling reporters Egypt agreed to allow 20 trucks of humanitarian aid into Gaza.
If Hamas confiscates it or doesn't let it get through or just confiscates it, then it's going to end.
The protests tonight across the Middle East and here at home, as Israeli troops ready on the border of Gaza.
Throughout the course of just over a week, what we've witnessed is a steady buildup of hundreds of thousands of Israeli troops and heavy equipment like this in staging areas, all pointed in one direction about a mile from Gaza.
American troops hurt after drone attacks near Iraqi Air Force bases. The concerns tonight of a larger conflict. Natalie Holloway's killer confesses to her murder. The disturbing new details about why her body may never be found.
Yaron Vandersloot's confession means we have finally reached the end of our never-ending nightmare.
The Honorable Jim Jordan of the state of Ohio has received 199.
The stalemate in Congress deepens. Another failed vote on the floor for U.S. House Speaker. How long do you think this is going to go, Mr. Jordan?
Till we get a speaker.
Nor'easter in the forecast. Are you in the path of heavy rain this weekend? And rare twin giant pandas say hello to the world. Good evening and thank you for joining us. Tonight, President Biden is on his way back to the U.S. after a historic visit to an active war zone. The trip, a dramatic show of support for Israel, and his push for humanitarian aid to be allowed to enter Gaza appears to have had some success. New tonight, the White House just announcing that President Biden will address the nation tomorrow at 8 p.m. in an Oval Office speech. Tensions are rising in the Middle East after that deadly hospital explosion in Gaza. U.S. senators just getting out of an intelligence briefing. The Biden administration telling them it has high confidence that Israel was not responsible and that a misfired rocket from a terror group inside Gaza led to the blast. Now, that assessment is based on intercepts and satellite images. But all that data has done little to tamp down the anger sweeping across the region, many still blaming Israel for the carnage. Back here at home, this scene on Capitol Hill, where around 300 protesters demanding a ceasefire were arrested. And there is a new warning tonight that terrorist groups like Hezbollah and an al-Qaeda affiliate are calling for attacks against the United States. We have team coverage starting with CBS's Charlie Daggett in Tel Aviv. Good evening, Charlie.
Good evening to you, Nora. President Biden was only on the ground here for about 7 hours. There was actually a lull in fighting. It was an extraordinary show of support for the people here and amid massive and growing anger for the explosion that took place at that hospital in Gaza.
It wasn't long after President Biden touched down in Tel Aviv to the embrace of a prime minister at war that he addressed the hospital explosion that's left hundreds of people dead.
Based on what I've seen, it appears as though it was done by the other team, not you.
The other team, meaning Palestinian militants, citing U.S. intelligence. U.S. officials tell CBS News that includes communication intercepts and satellite images, giving high confidence Israeli forces were not responsible. That supports intelligence from Israeli Defense Forces, saying this independently shot video shows that rocket comes up and down, fired for a nearby cemetery, landing on hospital grounds. Releasing what they say is an audio intercept implicating Islamic Jihad militants in the launch. Daytime images of the aftermath show extensive explosion damage in the parking lot, not necessarily a direct hit of the hospital. Hamas still insists an Israeli airstrike is to blame. The president's visit is much a pledge of solidarity as a message to Israel's neighbors.
I come to Israel with a single message. You're not alone. You are not alone. Since this terrorist attack took place, we've seen it described as Israel's 9/11.
At the same time, he urged restraint over retaliation, persuading the Israeli prime minister to allow basic humanitarian aid to be delivered to southern Gaza from Egypt, desperately needed food, water, and medicine.
As we proceed in this war, Israel will do everything it can to keep civilians out of harm's way.
Even as the two men spoke, not far away, heavily armored bulldozers were getting in position to plow into Gaza.
Whatever may be happening in diplomatic circles, the steady buildup of hundreds of thousands of Israeli troops and military equipment at staging areas like this continues, not much more than a mile from the border with Gaza.
Before Israel withdrew from Gaza, troops there were under command of retired Major General Israel Ziv.
How important is President Biden's visit?
Immense. President Biden has shown amazing leadership. He is the leader of the modern world, of the democratic world.
And a significant boost in morale. He told us the offensive ahead will be like nothing before, including a lot of firepower. Even while Israeli airstrikes continue to pound Gaza tonight, ahead of that expected offensive.
Now, we asked the former general if he had any idea about the timing of the ground offensive. He said the air campaign isn't over yet and that more time was needed for what he called a very deep operation. Nora?
Charlie Daggett, thank you. Tonight, the Secretary of Defense, the Director of National Intelligence, and the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff briefed senators. Lawmakers telling CBS News they were shown evidence that Israel wasn't behind the blast at that Gaza hospital, evidence that could soon be publicly released. But all of that is doing little to ease tensions in the Middle East, where we're seeing anger in the streets. CBS's Imtiaz Tayyab is in East Jerusalem.
The scale of the devastation here is hard to fathom, as those with missing loved ones try to make sense of it all. This woman says, "Dad, Mom, please answer me." The aftermath of the massive explosions at the Al-Ahli Hospital is still a smoking wreck. What should have been a safe haven has turned into a living nightmare. We left our home to come here, this woman says. We thought it would be safe, but then we got bombed. The Anglican Church, which runs the hospital, has said it was struck before by an Israeli rocket just 4 days earlier, injuring 4 members of staff. Speaking to CBS News, Fadl Naim, a doctor at Al Ahli, says Israel's army sent a warning to evacuate the facility less than 48 hours before that explosion.
They called our medical director and they told him, we warned you yesterday with 2 rockets. Why are you still working in the hospital? Why didn't you evacuate the hospital?
Hundreds of people have been killed in the blast. There are so many dead, they're running out of body bags. There were young children whose legs were blown off, this man says. I just can't unsee it. The explosion and its deadly aftermath has triggered a fury across the Middle East not seen in years. In Beirut, thousands demonstrated outside the U.S. embassy while President Biden was in neighboring Israel, where he said the Israeli military was not to blame. But from the streets of Tehran to even war-torn Yemen, few here believe the president and say Israel is squarely responsible for the explosion, as well as the widespread misery unfolding in Gaza. Including a strike tonight on a building just yards from another hospital. With the protests only spreading, President Biden left the region without meeting any Arab leaders face-to-face. All U.S. allies, after they canceled a previously planned summit in Jordan following the blast.
Now, President Biden did have a phone call with Egyptian President Abdel Fattah al-Sisi and gave him credit for helping to open the border with Gaza to allow in 20 trucks of humanitarian aid, all to address the rapidly growing crisis on the ground there. But with anger only spreading across the region, more will need to be done. Nora.
Imtiaz Tayyab, thank you. For more on this extraordinary visit, let's turn to CBS's Chief Foreign Affairs Correspondent, Margaret Brennan. All right, Margaret, I look at those protests in the street across the Middle East, and I wonder, what is President Biden saying to some of these Arab leaders? Is he sharing that intelligence? What's their reaction?
Yes, and the president spoke on that flight back with Egypt's president about all of this. But keep in mind, the U.S. has a credibility problem in this region of the world when it comes to U.S. intelligence conclusions. And President Biden referenced today the mistakes made by the U.S. after 9/11, when decisions were made too swiftly and based on rage. And that is likely a reference to the invasion of Iraq. He did call for respect for the law of armed conflict and to minimize impact on civilians. But, Nora, he refrained from calling for a ceasefire. In fact, the U.S. vetoed a U.N. resolution to that effect earlier today. Given that there have now been 11 days of bombing of Gaza by Israel with thousands killed, there is a perception in Arab countries that this looks like the U.S. is treating Palestinian lives differently than Israeli lives.
Well, and also, Margaret, you know, with Gaza in crisis, the looming ground invasion, what does the administration do now?
They have a full plate. And one of the tough questions the Biden administration is putting to the Israeli government is what happens next to the 2.3 million Palestinians in Gaza after Israel ousts Hamas. President Biden warned against a military occupation. He said the Palestinians do have a right to return to their homes. And he's been reaching out to the Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas to begin talking about a vision here. But in the immediate term, the U.S. is working to help get out 500 to 600 Americans stuck inside Gaza. They're helping Israel secure the release of hostages, including 13 unaccounted for Americans. And Nora, this is a big shift for an administration that wanted to avoid entanglements in the Middle East in order to focus on competition with an aggressive China. But once again, they're forced to focus back on this region.
Margaret Brennan, thank you. While in Israel, President Biden said another top priority is freeing the hostages in Gaza, which includes as many as 13 Americans who remain unaccounted for. One person being held is described as an all-American kid who went to Israel to find his roots and defend the country. CBS's Jim Axelrod has the incredible story.
On Long Island, New York, Omer Nutra's family and friends are in anguish. 10 days ago, Orna and Ronan Nutra got a call from the Israeli consulate asking to meet right away.
Then they walked in the door and they said that he's been taken captive. It's just insane that you feel relief to think that your son is not dead.
They get here, they tell you your son has been taken hostage, And you're relieved.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, it's unreal. Just unreal.
For now, the Nutras are holding tight to positive thoughts about Omer, his brother Daniel.
Omer is a natural-born leader, an amazing role model. He's strong, he's funny.
A grandson of Holocaust survivors, Omer put off attending Binghamton University to study in Israel, eventually joining the IDF, the Israel Defense Forces.
Omer is an American-born kid that wanted to help his grandparents' homeland and defend it.
Did you raise the idea of risks?
Of course. He was crying over this. This was not an easy decision to be made.
Omer was a tank commander near Gaza when news of the attack broke.
Immediately, I texted him, Omer, what's going on? Nothing. We called him. Nothing.
What can you tell us about what you know happened?
We know that the army did an investigation. From what they've shared and the videos that were shown, their conclusion is that him and his team have been taken.
We are on a mission.
A mission focused on action.
This is not a time for tears.
Tears come at night. And I've been showering so much because I cry in the shower. You know, just let it out. And then I come out and I have to refocus again.
Making sure that focus is on getting Omer and the others back.
They've done nothing wrong. Let them go home. It's not that hard. We are all humans.
And refusing to surrender their hope. Jim Axelrod, CBS News, New York.
CBS News will have a primetime special on the war titled Israel-Hamas, The World on Edge, Friday night at 10 p.m. Amid the tensions spreading across the Middle East, two military bases in Iraq that house U.S. troops were targeted today with drone attacks. CBS News has confirmed the drones were intercepted at the Al-Assad military base in western Iraq and the Al-Harir air base in the north. Minor injuries to U.S. troops were reported at Al-Assad. The Islamic Resistance, a group of Iranian-backed militias, claimed responsibility for the attacks and threatened more to come. The Defense Department has not verified those claims. The U.S. still has about 2,500 troops in Iraq and about 900 more in neighboring Syria helping in the fight against ISIS. Now to another major development, the bombshell confession in the 2005 murder of 18-year-old Natalie Holloway. Joren van der Sloot admitting in chilling detail how he killed the Alabama teen on the beach in Aruba and then dumped her body into the sea. CBS's Janet Shamlian is at the courthouse tonight with the emotional reaction from Holloway's mother.
Joren van der Sloot confessed to the crime he's long been suspected of, killing Natalie Holloway on an Aruba beach after she refused to have sex with him.
It's better than closure because our never-ending nightmare had to end, and we are so grateful that we can say that today.
The Dutch national's admission was part of a plea deal after trying to extort $250,000 from Beth Holloway to reveal what happened to her daughter. In a recorded interview with investigators, with Beth Holloway watching from another room, van der Sloot described how after Natalie kneed him in the groin, he smashed her head with a cinder block and dragged the high school senior into the water.
What was it like to hear and see that in real time, to hear him discuss what he did to your daughter?
It's shocking. It's almost as if it just blisters your soul when you hear it.
In a heart-wrenching victim statement, Holloway told van der Sloot, you terminated her potential when you bludgeoned her, calling her pain indescribable, with grief that lives deep in my soul.
She was killed just by standing her ground.
But you didn't know that.
No, I didn't know anything.
Authorities say van der Sloot's account passed a polygraph test. The judge imposed the maximum 20 years, but he'll serve it at the same time he's serving a sentence for the murder of another young woman in Peru.
There were dozens of family members and Natalie's friends in the courtroom today, many of them breaking down when Beth Holloway addressed the court saying, I will live my life with the beautiful memories of who Natalie was and what she could have become.
Nora. Going into this story, Janet Shamley, and thank you. House Republicans fail yet again to elect a speaker, prompting members of both parties to consider changing congressional rules. We've got the details next.
sound the gifting panic alarm. We've all been there. You need to find the perfect gift. You have absolutely zero ideas, and you don't know where to start. Relax. Now you can use Gift Mode on Etsy. Gift Mode takes the stress out of gifting, so you can find the perfect item for anyone and any occasion. Just answer a few short questions about who you're shopping for and what they like, and Gift Mode gives you curated gift ideas based on hundreds of personas. Imagine pages of artisan espresso mugs for the coffee connoisseur in your life. Or for the pickleballer, customized paddle covers in every shade imaginable. Etsy's got you covered. Need to find the perfect gift? Don't panic. Try Gift Mode on Etsy now.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
The House, paralyzed by a fractured Republican Party, will try again tomorrow to elect a speaker, 16 days after Kevin McCarthy was forced to turn in the gavel. In a second round of voting today, Trump ally Jim Jordan actually lost more Republican support, 22 votes compared to 20 yesterday. For now, Jordan is vowing to stay in the race. There's also talk on Capitol Hill about a plan to expand the power of interim Speaker Patrick McHenry so the House can finally get back to the people's business. Tonight, two weather extremes along the U.S. coast. In the west, it's the brutal heat with more than 50 records expected to be broken by Friday, including a high of 102 in Phoenix and 92 in San Francisco. In the east, it's shaping up to be another rainy weekend with a nor'easter coming through Friday into Saturday from Virginia to Maine. The cost of streaming is going up for some Netflix subscribers. That's next. Netflix is raising the price of its basic and premium plans. The ad-free basic plan now costs $11.99 a month. That's a $2 increase. And the premium plan is getting bumped up $3 a month to $22.99. Netflix says it gained nearly 9 million subscribers this summer after its crackdown on password sharing. South Korea is going wild for a pair of three-month-old panda cubs. Wait till you see them. They are adorable. We've got the cute details next.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Finally tonight, panda bear lovers in South Korea are seeing and hearing double. Well, a zoo there is raising a rare set of panda twins. They're just over 100 days old, and after an online vote, they were given Korean names that translate to wise treasure and shining treasure. The zoo says they'll likely be revealed to the public early next year. For now, you can see them on the zoo's YouTube channel. They are cute. That's tonight's CBS Evening News. I'm Nora O'Donnell. Good night.
Why?
If you have T-Mobile 5G home internet, you might be hearing this a lot.
Why?
Every time your internet slows down during the busiest hours.
Why?
Because your network gives priority to cell phone users.
Why?
Good question. Why not switch to Cox Internet with 2x faster download speeds than T-Mobile 5G home internet during peak hours?
Okay.
Stop the whys and visit cox.com/5G home for details. T-Mobile prioritizes certain T-Mobile phone users over home internet users during times of congestion.
Hi, it's Stephen Colbert.
And I'm here to tell you about The Late Show Pod Show, which is the podcast of The Late Show with me, Stephen Colbert. And I'm here with my producer of the podcast, Becca. Hi, Becca.
Hi, Stephen.
So what do people get when they listen to The Late Show Pod Show? Let's sell this thing.
The extended moments, for sure. Because we run out of time for broadcast, but we have plenty of time on the podcast.
It's kind of like being a live audience member of the show because you get things that no one else hears. Listen to The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert wherever you get your podcasts.